was Curtis Fuller on trombone. We'll hear next in the break from the man of the hour, David Fathead Newman. How would you like to have that name all your life? David Fathead Newman, John Hicks on piano, and John Menigan on bass, and Jimmy Cobb on drums. This is from the album Song for the New Man. It's a play on the word Newman, David Fathead Newman. The album is titled Song for the New Man. And that was released. When was that released? I have to check my notes. In 2000. No, I'm wrong. I don't have my notes. Okay, well, it was released. I think it's somewhere around like 2014 or something like that, if I recall. But anyway, I like that kind of music. We get it as they played it. So that's wonderful. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Truth Lead. I hope you had a very restful weekend that allowed you to recuperate from this insane time that we're in. And we just continue. That's life. That's what we do. Things happen, and we continue to the best of our ability. We're going to talk today about the state of affairs and why we should get ready. There's some kind of thing going on that people are just fed up. They're just fed up with what is happening. And they see that it is inevitable that there'll be a fight. And, in Washington, D.C., the president is literally out of his mind. Even people who thought they knew him well, I don't know what would make them believe that, are flabbergasted. They can't figure out what the heck is going on in the mind, and I use the word loosely, of Donald Trump. Every day there is a new twist to his bizarre behavior and the bizarre things that he's thinking. And just when you thought that, well, gee, everybody would think this is bizarre, the answer is no, not everybody thinks it's bizarre. There are quite a few people still out there who are standing with him and supporting him in whatever it is that he says he's doing. Nobody kind of knows where he's heading with all of this, except that it looks as if he's becoming more and more despondent and more unpredictable. And that means the entire country is at risk. The entire country is at risk. And we don't need to pretend that that is not so. Crazy things can happen in the name of the presidency. Because as president, he is allowed to make certain decisions unilaterally. And he will continue to make them because, you know, the gates are closing and he must go. There must be a changing of the guard. And whether he believes he won the election or didn't win the election and all, it all becomes moot. It's not important. There's a new president who will take the helm and proceed from there. But in the meantime, we the people get to witness COVID-19 wreaking havoc in this country. We get to witness mass unemployment and underemployment. We get to witness an unstable president and an unstable government, record national debt, evictions, and they're going to be even worse as people cannot pay their rent. They're not on their jobs. They have little or no income. And they have to have a place to live. So that is going to be a big blow up. We're seeing food lines. Over the weekend, we had a picture, a rather telling picture, of a highway. But what was interesting about this picture of the highway was that in both directions, traffic was bumper to bumper. Both directions. And what was going on there? It was in Texas. And food was being distributed. My heart sank. Literally thousands of cars in both directions, bumper to bumper, trying to secure food for their families. I tell you, if you saw it, you would be brought to tears. We have businesses shutting down, education disrupted, people with dashed dreams. They can't move. They can't pursue anything. It takes money. They're not making money. They're not able to sustain themselves and their families. And in the meantime, we have this circus and this clown in Washington, D.C., acting as if all is well. Just believe in me. All is well. Donald Trump is president, and all is well. Even though the list of casualties grows by the day, and yet in the face of major contradictions that the people are being sold, they're being sold useless palliatives. They're being told things like, we're rounding the corner. Things will get better. Just have faith. Keep the faith. You'll be all right. Not too long from now. So why are we reluctant to demand answers and action from those in Congress and to demand it now? Why? Isn't it insane? You begin to think that you're living in some kind of alternate universe. Because you can't imagine people who have so much to complain about, so much to demand answers for. The silence is deafening. They're letting this guy do whatever he wants to do and take the so-called glory for it. Did you ever imagine an America where people, almost all the people, have become wimps? Almost all the people are terrified of saying anything or doing anything, even when it is about saving their lives and the lives of their families, their jobs, tending to their interests? Did you ever imagine it would come to this point where people are terrified to stand up for themselves and say, this is not supposed to happen, not here. We cannot have a renegade president who now must be questioned about the competency. And I've talked about this for 4 years. 4 years I've been talking about this. My very first program after his inauguration was about the very clear signals that this man was unstable and unfit to be president of the United States. 4 years ago. And people, well, you know, they listened, and then the program ended, and they moved on to something else. And even now, 4 years later, no, and the proof is in front of your face. The damage he's doing and has done to the people of this nation. And people are still reluctant to say boo. They don't want to complain. They don't even want to be seen. And they're hoping now, with a new president, Joe Biden, hopefully they can say a thing or two. And maybe Biden would help out and put this country back on an even keel. Would you ever have imagined that that is the accelerated rate at which this country would deteriorate in a matter of just 4 years? All right, so that's what we're talking about today. What is it that has to happen for people to become animated about their interests and at least say something to represent yourself and demand a certain level of performance from those in Congress, at the city level, at the state level as well? We have shut up. We've lost our voices. We've lost our heart. We've lost our guts. And we're sitting like available targets. Shoot us whenever you care to. Just shoot us all. Just get rid of us all and solve the so-called problem that way. When did we become such wimps? When did we become people who will not stand up even for themselves? But we're like tourists in our own nightmare. We're observing and hoping and praying that somebody will have the intestinal fortitude to get up and do something, say something, and put things right. People are starving. I tell you, you must have seen a picture of that on the news. Both ways. The highway is a long parking lot. And thousands of cars are lined up to get handouts of food. Is this the America that we envision? Is this our America? I don't think so. Tell me what you think. At 888-874-4888. We have some tough talking to do. And we're going to do some of that talking today. Because now lives are depending on it. Not just our own, but their children and the elderly. The people who can't physically get around to doing things for themselves. They are in danger. Everybody is suffering. And yet the politeness is nauseating. Everybody's so polite. They don't want to upset Donald Trump anymore. They'll just wait and see what he says. Like a bunch of schnooks. I'm so angry about us that we put up with this kind of treatment. And we see that not everybody is being treated this way. We see the cleavage here. The wealthy are doing just fine, thank you. They have a choice. Are they going to go back to New York? Or are they going to fly out to Bimini and stay there for a couple of months while things roll over? What is it they're going to do? Maybe they could go to Europe. They're having a blast. They're doing very, very well. The vast majority of Americans are catching hell. And when you look around for reinforcement, there isn't any. People in Congress have gone silent. The city council has practically gone dead. Your state assemblies and state senates, what's going on there? Maybe you can tell me, because from what I'm seeing, we are in graver danger than we think. We have no backup to count on. We are alone in this. What are you thinking? What the heck is happening here? And why are we putting up with it? Terry from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes. What came first, the chicken or the egg? I think that the people lost interest in their government and holding their government accountable for serving the people. So the government went off on its own tangent and sold itself to the highest bidder. And the presidents that we have received as a result of our non-commitment to the process have reflected this disinterest and the postulating of their own interest in the world. I'm thinking that Trump is no better or no worse than anyone else. We did not elect him anyway. We don't have an election process. We have a selection process. So he was selected to do the bidding of those who were paying him, not to represent the people. But the people are failing to represent themselves. The people are failing to stand up and let their voices be heard and demand that their government do what it's supposed to do, which is represent the people.
Well, I have to disagree with you on one point, and that is I really can't agree that the people have done nothing. They voted very, very briskly. They've been involved in casting their ballots. And their intention was to get rid of this dastardly president who remains in office because he says so.
Well,
so the people have done. The people have done a creditable job. Go ahead.
We can go back to Clinton, and Clinton got rid of the foundation for the people who could not afford housing and welfare. Look at Obama. Took away habeas corpus. I mean, you point to one. You name one of the people. Presidents that represented the people. Trump didn't do any more or any less. He represented it. His gift was in your face, as opposed to those who pretended to care about the destiny of the people.
Well, I still would put up my point that Trump has done more damage than the other presidents that you have named. But I agree with you that the evidence remains that we, the people, have not seen to our interests, and that we have not protected our interests. We've not advocated and insisted on a fair return for the investment we made. I agree with you on that.
Well, I think that the world's waiting for the people to take a stand. We have to remember that we are the government and they represent us. And until we demand, we shouldn't have the truth, but that's where it is right now. Until we demand that we be represented by the government that we supposedly hire, and the Constitution dictates to represent we the people, then we're going to continuously get these demagogues in office, because we don't pick them. They're appointed.
I thank you very much. You made some very solid points, and I thank you for contributing them and putting them for our consideration today. Thank you. Jackie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, Utrice and the PRN family.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. I'm responding to you and the last caller. First of all, we don't have a well-thought-out, organized plan that we can come to our elected officials and demand certain outcomes. We get caught up in slogans and emotional reaction, and as you pointed out this morning, people don't seem to understand that we are actually on the precipice of survival or non-survival. I don't think people understand and recognize that. Yes, many of the elected officials, especially the ones in Congress, they may go there poor, but by the time they leave, they're millionaires for the most of them. But our problem is that we are faced with a group of people within this nation that almost 50% supported Trump and his ideas. And even though Biden and Harris were elected, they will still have to deal with that element within the government. Meanwhile, the people are waiting and hoping and thinking that the government is going to save us. No one is going to save you. You have to save yourself. And we've seen this repeated over and over and over again. The most recent experience was the Katrina catastrophe, where people were all wound up in the Superdome and other places begging for help, and the government flew over in a helicopter and looked down on them. And it's going to become like a Katrina type of situation without the water. But the floods of poverty, the floods of homelessness, the floods of lack of food is coming. And I don't see that people understand that they're not making any demands. No one's demanding that the Democrats do something, even if they take the Trump administration to court and try to stop some of the things that they're doing, or the malfeasance or lack of activity, which equates to neglect and death. I just read online this morning that the Trump administration is considering proposals from oil and gas companies to drill in the wildlife preserves. So the reason why people keep saying, oh, why doesn't he talk? He doesn't have to talk. He's putting everything in place that the same people that voted for him and supported his ideas will still be working against the for the people, by the people notion. So we think that they gave Barack Obama a hard time. We haven't seen a hard time yet. And until people organize, educate themselves, and put forth a platform that is workable and that can be responded to. We are going to be running around like chickens with their heads cut off. So I hate to be so negative, but that's the reality of the situation as I see it.
Okay. Well, very sobering thought. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today.
Thank
Jay
you.
From New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, increasing to your listening audienceship.
Good afternoon.
I find the American people to be sheep. I think they don't understand what's facing them collectively. They just look at a very small myopic of what someone like a Trump will say, when in essence, if you really study Trump and look at what Trump has done, he hasn't really done nothing in his presidency to make the lives of the American people better. You can just look at the whole debacle with the soybean farmers. The big soybean farmers got rich. The everyday soybean farmers got poorer and committed suicide. To date, those soybean farmers, he never did what is one of the tenets of America should do, is grow and get new markets to open up and explore. He never did that. So the thing is, what's so crazy, a lot of people in that industry voted for him again. So whereby now you have a situation to where Biden comes into office and the question becomes, will he do anything? So it's just a continuous vicious cycle.
The question shouldn't be, will he do anything? The question should be, when is he going to start doing it? And I understand that Trump has been in the way of this handover of power. But in the meantime, we're not hearing from Biden. We're not hearing that the people's thoughts and the people's agony, the people's suffering is registering on the party they just put in.
He's supposed to have a news conference.
It appears that people are trying to find their own way themselves.
He's supposed to have an economic news conference this afternoon in regards to how he's going to move the economy forward. I don't think that there's really any plan, honestly, that he's going to put forward that's going to address the things that you're talking about. The funny thing is, with all this said and done, you still have to be worried about what is Mitch McConnell going to do once Biden get in the office. And like you said, there's no telling what Trump's going to do over the next 60-some days. So, I mean, the American public is in a quagmire, because the American public is going, and like you always talk about, we need to be in the streets. They going in the streets over nonsense. They're not going in the streets about jobs, about their human survival, and things of that nature. They're going in the streets to keep a false leader in office and to spew racial hatred and white supremacy to its highest form of whiteness. I mean, it's tragic to think that here it is in a state like New York City, that there's so many people that are losing their benefits, that are basically don't have food, are about to lose shelter, and all of these things. And let's not even talk about the optics of what you just said earlier in your presentation about Texas. Do you imagine how insane that is for a person to have a car, which is an expense, to have to go and search out for food, to be able to only feed their family for what, maybe a week? And then to have to go back and try to find how they're going to feed their family again in this vicious cycle. And we live in supposedly the richest country in the world, and nobody is putting anything in place to help these people. Because at some point in time, let's be honest, food banks, food shelters, and those type of organizations are going to run out. So who's going to refund them? You know what I mean? Who's going to help with making sure that families are going to eat? The government, it seems, are not going to do anything in regards to giving any type of stimulus to help us. And on top of that, the pandemic is coming back to the point to where as those states may have to shut down. And you know and I know when Biden comes in to office in January, the whole narrative is going to change in regards to shutting the country down. He's going to be more inclined to maybe shutting the country down to deal with the pandemic than what Trump has said. Trump has already said if he's still in office, he ain't shutting the country down. So then the question becomes, what happens in regards to us as a nation moving forward? Because I tell you, Utrice, most of the black people that I speak to, they ain't taking no vaccine. They ain't even considering. You know what I mean? If I speak to 10 black people, 8 or 9 is saying, no, I won't take the vaccine because of what they believe is history, what has done to our people in Tuskegee and all sorts of other experiments that is happening. So that's a crisis that's going to come into play because Biden may be the type of individual that may mandate that all Americans take a vaccine. Now, will he be able to get rid of it? That's a whole other story. So that's a crisis that's coming
into play. You're right. But thank you so much for putting your ideas forward today for us to consider. I appreciate it. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air. At 888-874-4888, just in case people were wondering. Go ahead, David.
I've been thinking about what we're talking here about, and what's coming to my mind when people talk about voting and that sort of thing, and the elected officials are supposed to do what the people need and all that. That is nothing but an illusion. That is a total illusion because, you know, from the beginning, the people that created this country, the slave owners who wrote the Constitution and so forth, there was never any desire for the government to be taking care of the needs of the masses of people. So it's got to be more than looking to elected officials, so-called, who supposedly represent the people who live here, the masses of people, to do something that is beneficial to the people, the masses of people who live here. That's not their job. They don't work for you. You may go and elect them, pull a lever somewhere or write in their name somewhere, but this is an illusion to think that they operate in the interests of the people who live here. That's why people are waiting online of thousands of cars to get a few morsels of food. Not only in, long lines, but in many churches and whatnot, they're giving out hundreds of boxes of food that I know about. The point is, why do you think have this illusion? Everybody ought to ask himself a question. Why do you think these people you elect have your interests at heart? Don't you know that the ruling group controls the people in these elective offices? So we got to think about that. That's the first step. And then the second step, after you get to that realization, is you got to find out what you have to do to change that. And it won't be about voting for Republicans or Democrats who are in the same group who represent the same interests. So,
amen.
People are not getting it. Voting is not going to do it. Voting for the ruling class people, candidate who sit in the Congress and all levels of government, all three levels of government is not going to do it. We got to do more.
Thank you, David. On that note, we'll take a little break, come back to your comments at 888-874-4888 right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're talking, we're mad today. We're angry. And we're talking about, if we don't realize by now that we are the ones who have to do the work of advocating for ourselves, we cannot leave this work to anybody to do. We have to advocate for our interests, for ourselves, for our lives, for our communities, for our children, for our elders. We are the ones. 888-874-4888. Kevin from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
How are you, Yatrice?
Okay, Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been an interesting week. I thought you might appreciate the story I'd like to share. This Saturday, I decided to go down to D.C. for the Trump rally. Now, I decided to make this trip not out of support for Trump, but out of solidarity with his supporters. I put my heart and soul into the Sanders campaign in 2016 for many reasons, including his advocacy for criminal justice reform. You know, there's a lot of reasons why my opinion of Sanders has changed since then. And there's a lot of things that I agree with and definitely disagree with in the case of Trump. But I decided to go as an observer to this rally where upwards of 100, 200,000 people showed up. Very diverse crowd, a lot of white Christians and people singing, a lot of people that were riled up, but mostly people who were really happy and resilient. They're listening intently to what Trump and his base is proliferating in terms of the evidence, of which there is so much, very much similar to what happened in the Sanders campaign, the way they were defrauded by the DNC and the Clinton campaign. I think you and your listeners already know that. So the issue of election integrity is one of the most important to me, and I'm really hopeful that as much as we might not want Trump and his camp to be the ones to do it, I'm so happy that somebody is raising awareness of this issue, and it relates to marginalized communities in particular, but everybody, you know, our democracy is at stake, you know, regardless of the outcome. The only other part of the story I'd like to share is that on my way back to my car after the march was over, the what's now called Black Lives Matter Plaza by the front lawn of the White House was filled with a couple hundred young people, whether they were Antifa or Black Lives Matter, whatever their affiliation was, they were very intent and it was very palpable the kind of animosity and malice and the way that they presented themselves to people who were walking by peacefully trying to get home from this rally. And the way that they antagonized and physically assaulted people was really concerning. And what I see happening, again, as someone who was very passionate back in 2016, at the same time all these police shootings were showing up everywhere in the media, I feel like the injustice that is attributed and the bigotry and divisiveness that's attributed to Trump and his campaign is nowhere more evident than in these young people who think they're fighting the good fight, and I understand where they're coming from, where their rage comes from, but I think that was a palpable example of how both sides are kind of being co-opted for this, I guess you could say, engineered civil war that I'm hopeful people don't fall for, you know? So I just thought you might like find that interesting.
Well, when it comes to, you mentioned rage. There has not been a more rageful in recent years administration than this one. Just read the headlines. You don't have to read the stories. Just read the Trump lashes out at such and such. Trump berates such and such. He's always out of control, raging at somebody. So people emulate the leadership that is provided them or that they choose to follow. This president is a catastrophe. That's the only word I could figure right now that would sort of communicate the extent to which this man has ruined this country, dragged it down, carved it up, and methodically put a pin in its eyes. That's what he has done. And that's what he has been allowed to do. Hugh from California, you're on the air.
In response to your initial question about how America could tolerate this guy, you know, very looking back, you know, say, you know, growing up in Harlem, I remember when they sold Mohammed Speaks on the streets. It spoke to real anger, although it was full of a lot of cockamamie crap, superstitious, weird, authoritarian nonsense. In the same way that during the Million Man March, you had responsible civil rights leaders and, you know, social activists who shared a stage with an acknowledged, race, superstitious, racist, authoritarian, who was probably complicit in the murder of Malcolm X, or at least agreed with it. They were willing to tolerate this guy. Why? Because he spoke to a few things that they wanted or liked. And in the same way, you get this moron in the right house, racist, superstitious, I don't know. But nonetheless, people tolerate this. How could people tolerate? For the same reason that Louis Farrakhan is tolerated. When people think a moron can give them a little bit of what they want, they'll ignore the rest of the stuff. And they've done this throughout history. They've done this with every dictator, with every cult leader, people who knew better. I'm sure most of the white people who voted for Trump know what an asshole he is.
What's the language, please?
Okay, I'll keep that point down. Just for the same reason that I remember when, and you know, this is before civil rights legislation, you know, I was young. And people on the streets would see Muhammad speak and say, you know, this stuff is crazy, but it's really entertaining because he's speaking to an anger against injustices that had been done, although a lot of what he was saying was absolute nonsense. I mean, super.
Yes, but you
and
taking
my
this.
Point, my point
wait
is,
a minute.
Is,
wait a minute.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
Yeah, please.
Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm wait. Go
wait
ahead.
A minute. You have attempted, but you haven't yet succeeded in taking us totally off course. I asked, what is it? What accounts for our lack of action, resolute action, at a time when we are clear that we are in grave danger and under a president of questionable mental acuity? That's the question. I didn't ask about Minister Farrakhan or anybody
else in the nation
of Islam.
You know, I'm making an analogy to how people agree.
No, we're not talking about how people. We're not talking about that. Again, you misread the question.
Yes.
How do you account for the fact that we appear not to be, we stymied, we appear not to be able to make a resolution that we deserve better now? We deserve better and we deserve better now. How come we can't seem to communicate that?
Well, I think there's an element of status quo, even in some of the craziest situations, in which people will not just tolerate, but will just go on with life, saying that, you know, this is part of the status quo. Unless these people are totally deranged, which Trump is not. He's not totally deranged. There's enough there, as a so-called responsible political leader, for people to mute a response that would be radically in opposition to him, enough to want to drag him out of the White House. And indeed, he's giving not only conservatives a bit of what they want, he's part of an establishment that gives liberals kind of what they want, so that the response is muted. You ask why? Because the capacity of people who play both sides of the mouth, who can be crazy in one sense, but can, to some extent, give people what they want, will be tolerated. And this is this again. I think this has been shown with dictators, with cult leaders throughout history. So I mean, this is my general response to what you said. I don't claim to have the answer to why we're not rising up to throw this guy out, or that we, you know, we've tolerated this. I'm not making that claim, but I'm saying that there's something in human nature, especially of groupthink, that explains why this situation is tolerated. And that's all I wanted to say. I thought it was something in response to what you were saying to begin with that might have been constructive, at least in seeing just how people behave. That's all.
All right. Well, thank you very much for thank you very much for your input today. Positive from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I really
Hello.
Wanted to say something. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I really wanted to say something else to you, Therese, and I will get to that shortly, hopefully. But I gotta, even though I don't agree with everything what the minister said, I gotta defend the minister. How could any person...
No, before you go any further.
Okay.
I, too, can defend Minister Farrakhan, but that's not the subject today. What
All
we're
right.
talking about is, what is it that prevents the people from standing up for themselves and demanding the action and attention that they more than deserve?
Well, what it is, it's the same Kabbalah that causes you to choose Satan over the devil. Biden and Trump are two fingers of the same hand. Either way, we are going to get smacked, that be it black or white or whatever. Either way, it's strange for people, not really strange because I understand what's going on, for people to put so much weight on Trump as though he has invented what he is practicing now. Show me one president. You know, they say in all research, history is boring. In all arguments, all research, history is best sought. Show me one president that has been righteous or even good prior to Trump. Show me one. Every one of them are rotten. Every one of them are wicked. Every one of them. How can we say a man that has been in there for 4 years has done worse than the man that has been there for 8 years? How many wars were practiced under Obama? How many millions of lives were lost?
You're raising, for lack of a better term, you're raising an esoteric question. It's not about who did more damage in 4 years as opposed to 8 years. That's
not the issue. Let me tell you why I say this. Let me tell you why I say this. Because for you to make the statement...
The point I'm saying is, it is off key. You may rationalize it. It's perfectly amenable. It's a perfectly applicable to the situation. But in fact, it isn't directly applicable to the situation. We're discussing what is it that is preventing or retarding an intervention by the people who so desperately need it.
Well,
you use
the correct word when you said preventing and retarding. As I said initially, it's because of that same system or the belief in that system what makes people react or do what they do. You believe in a system that you feel or believe that you have a hand in when you not realizing that you're being played by a system that is never meant or constructed for you to have any real hand in it. For you to really have a hand or to do something constructive, you would have to act outside the system as those who created a revolution when they had a problem with the system initially. Do we understand?
I'm listening to you.
So But with that, I digress. I give the rest to you. And you go on.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your contribution today. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello. Good afternoon to you.
Now, what you're doing now is 53 years too late, because we had a man who was our real leader, and he wasn't just the leader of black people. He was the leader of all good people of this world. Martin Luther King told us that the dream became a nightmare back in 1967. That's 53 years ago. He tried to warn us of what was coming up. This is all our fault. We've played along with it. We accepted everything that they gave us, and we became complacent. He told us not to take the welfare checks and the low-income housing, and we took it. And now we're in this position, and we don't know why. This is a control thing. Donald Trump wasn't elected president. He was put in there on purpose to get people scared. And that's how you're reacting. You feel Donald Trump is insane. He's an actor. He's giving us his best performance.
Well, okay, let me amend it. He's an actor who's acting insanely.
Right. Okay. On purpose. Right. On purpose to make people fearful, because that's what they want people to be for the last 4 years. Because they had to have a time. I wondered why Biden wasn't running for president last time, because he was the vice president for 8 years. He was the one most qualified. But he ran twice, and he lost. So he didn't want to be a three-time loser. And if he had run last time, that would have meant Democrats for three terms in a row, and that never happens. They already had 8 years with Biden, with Obama. So he had to wait and let a Republican go in for 4 years, and then Biden could be the grand savior to save us from Trump. And this is exactly how it's gone down. Bernie Sanders' job in this whole thing was to steal the third party people, get them to come to the Democratic Party. That's what he did both elections. You say, well, how much could he get? 2-3%? Well, look, what was the vote decided by? 2-3%. Thanks to Bernie for getting people over to the Democratic Party. No Democratic or Republican candidate will ever promise free health care and free education, because they know they can't deliver that in this country. But Bernie was doing it because that was his job, just to get the people to come over to the Democratic Party, and then they could take that 3% and win the vote with it. It didn't work with Hillary because people hated Hillary more than Trump, than Biden. But what you're doing is, let's say you got a problem with your neighbor next door, plays music real late at night, right? And he also happens to be a ventriloquist. Are you going to go over to his apartment and ask him not to play the music so loud at night, or are you going to talk to the dummy on his lap? You're talking to the dummy on his lap when you talk about Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is just a patsy to make us feel fearful. We are people. There's a war on people, and we're being murdered. And Gary Noe will tell you, too.
Well, I thank you. I thank you for your input today. I thank you for contributing. I thank you all for your input and for your contributions today, because there could never be enough talking to each other. There could never be enough. We have been so deprived of this one thing, and that is the exchange of opinions and ideas. And we often find ourselves worse off for it, because in the absence of workable ideas that we exchange with each other, nothing moves, or they move, but not necessarily intelligently, with a consciousness of the impact of what actions can cause. And so we have to continue talking. The situation is pretty dire. And if we back off because we are afraid to engage, it gives even more space for those who believe themselves to be in control to just take even more control. We need to stop that. We need to stop that process. I thank you so much for your calls today and for putting your ideas out there for consideration. Very brave of you, very honorable of you, and I thank you so much for doing it on this program. Stay tuned, and we'll see each other tomorrow.